none. So, all right, let's start the lesson today. 2 weeks ago I taught, and it was on raising children, and my opening sentence was, I have no idea how to raise any child. Do you all remember that? Well, this is on ordinary people, and I am an expert on ordinary people because I am one. So that one I can relate to. When you hear the word ordinary people, what do you think? What comes to your mind? What words? Selma?
Oh, I was just thinking most people are ordinary.
All right, most people are ordinary, okay. What else comes to your mind? Anything?
General run of the mill.
General run of the mill? That's a good one. That's good. Yes. Somebody's hand?
Do we have our prayer request?
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to do that in the middle of the lesson, but because I certainly... Where's that Alzheimer deal again? Yeah, that's a good thing. I appreciate that. So, okay. Well, what prayer request do we have?
Well, I have a special one.
Okay. I kind of figured that one out. So. Yes, ma'am.
For Steve Tucker, who is still in the hospital, still wants to be baptized.
That was a gentleman we talked about a couple years.
Still wants to be baptized. And, you know, I'm Adventist in a Baptist institution, and I cannot tell him anything about Baptist, about Adventist, really, other than live the life and visit him, you know. So this week when I was there, he had gone online and looked up Adventist, and he knew a lot of things that he was telling me. So he is, you know, he's serious about that, I think, and I would like you to continue to pray.
Yes. Okay, certainly.
They don't have a diagnosis yet, and that's scary.
Yeah.
Once you know what you're working on.
Yeah, if you know what the problem is, and then you know what to expect. All right, certainly remember him. What other requests do we have? Yes, ma'am.
Keep writing in prayer. His cold came back, and he's sick again. And also, remember the couple who the wife has the colon cancer, and the husband has the brain cancer.
Okay.
The mom is back in with our neighbor, and she has just shut her doors, hasn't come out, she doesn't want to talk to anybody.
Okay.
So please, she
certainly will.
Okay.
All right. What other requests? Yes, Steve.
A friend of ours that goes to the Watson Hats Church, named Steve Jenkins, and he called asking prayer requests, and they found a tumor in his brain.
Okay. Absolutely, we will. What other requests do we have? Yes.
One other, the young lady that I saw that had the swollen thyroid, she will be seeing the endocrinologist this week. So keep praying for her.
Okay. Sure, you will. Any other requests? Yes.
Darren is going to be starting to take more tests for certification. She's anxious and working a lot.
That's a tremendous amount of stress, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, you tell her we're praying for her. Tell her we're proud of her, but we're praying for her. Any other requests?
Well, how about our absent members, our new people who aren't here and haven't been here in a while?
Okay. Trent, that's good. Appreciate that. Any other requests? Anything? Okay. I'm going to ask Eloise if you would have our opening prayer for this morning. Thank you very much. All right, let's start our lesson. You remember 2 weeks ago I taught a lesson on child raising, and my opening statement was, I know absolutely nothing about child raising. Well, this week is about ordinary people, and I know everything about ordinary people. Why? Because I'm ordinary. Okay. So, Selma, what's your... All right. Now we're caught up. Right where I do appreciate it. I kept thinking there's something missing, so I appreciate that, Sam. All right. Ordinary people. Is being ordinary good or bad?
Typically, it's ordinary people who end up doing extraordinary things.
Yes, absolutely. Well, is ordinary people bad? Now, see, I come from a philosophy, and I've told Sue this many times. You know, I don't care if people love me or if people hate me. I just don't want to be in don't care category. See, so I don't like to think of being ordinary. Even though I am ordinary, but I just don't like to think of myself as ordinary. I'm a sales trainer by profession. I train salespeople to go door to door, knock on doors, and say, "Hi, I'm Ernie with Hawk Security Company. I'm the alarm guy for some of your neighbors here in the neighborhood. Today we're running a very special... Oh, by the way, are you lucky enough to have a security system?" Now, when a door-to-door salesman comes to your house and knocks on the door, how many of you jump up and down with joy? I ain't seen a hand yet. Sean, you don't jump up and down with joy when somebody knocks on your door and you're watching TV or eating supper or something and says, "Hi, I'm so-and-so from Hawk Security." You just don't embrace them? See. So one of the things that I teach my salespeople, which is absolutely important, is you are not a salesman. You are not a peddler. You are not a solicitor. You're somebody that has a very important message. We sell a product that is affordable, dollar a day, certainly affordable, that protects people's biggest investment they ever make, which is their home. And their most precious investment they ever have, which is their family. And for about a dollar a day, we can provide the services that's going to protect those things. So you see, those successful salespeople that go to door to door, certainly a profession that's looked down on, I understand that. I've been selling basically door to door since I was 13 years old. When my daddy announced to me in June, "Here's 50 Life and Health magazines." Remember those things? "And before you play baseball or basketball, you've got to work 2 hours a day door knocking until you sell the 50 magazines, and then you're off and running." What a beat down! See? But I have people that work for me that make $125,000 a year. Top salesman last year made $178,000. High. So, what is looked down? What is ordinary? What is pitiful on being a door-to-door salesman? It's an opportunity to make a whole lot of money, sell a product that, in my opinion, every home needs, and to provide a service and get paid for it. I'm going to make my point. Usually I make my point at the last of the lesson, but I'm going to make it at the front of the lesson. Every person in this class is not ordinary. You are a son of the God who created you. You are in the family of the Creator of this universe. And don't you ever think that you're not loved, cared for, you're alone. Because you see, in my opinion, that's the message that people need to hear from the Seventh-day Adventist Church, is that God loves and God cares and you are precious. Now, as most of y'all been in the class over many years, I've had the privilege of teaching. I always like it when the Bible backs up my theory. I mean, I feel a lot better when the Bible goes along with my philosophy. So, I want to look at some texts today. So, who has Matthew? Okay, Blaine, nice and loud. Matthew, tell them the verses.
Matthew 23, verse 27.
Okay.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whitened sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness.
Boy, that's a great text. Has absolutely nothing to do with my lesson today. Go down and find where he talks about Jerusalem. I must have written down the wrong text.
O Jerusalem.
Ah, that's it.
That's the right one?
Yeah, that's the right one.
Thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered my children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and ye would not.
Thank you. Thank you. I had the privilege, as you all know, last year of standing on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem. It was one of the two moving things, one of the three moving things that I had all 11 days we were there. When you stand on the Mount of Olives, you can look down and see the entire city of Jerusalem. They had a big wall, but you're so high up, and where Jesus stood, he could look down and see the courtyard of the temple. And what moved Jesus when he said, O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, were several things. One, as he looked at that city, he saw that in AD 70 he knew they would be destroyed. But what really moved him to tears was he saw, as he could see the courtyard, the priest, the people, doing things in the courtyard like they were supposed to, going through the rituals of religion, knowing that in a few days, the very people, the very leaders in that courtyard were going to be the ones that demanded his crucifixion. And as I sat there, I really dawned on me what must have been going through his mind as he saw an entire city that he came to save, he came to rescue, that should have been promoting and understanding who he was. They were going to be destroyed, and religion didn't even recognize him. No wonder that would move you to tears. We had an interesting phone call this week on our ministry, Knowing God's Ministry. Come in. We had we did the church up at 3ABN last year, had a seminar, and one of the ladies called that attended the 3ABN church seminar, says, I just want to share with you how much, I'm paraphrasing, getting out of your ministry. She says, I have a ministry that I go to prisons. And she says, I move by what your presentation is on the love of God. I believe that's the message we should be sharing. And so I talk to the prisoners about how much God loves them, how much God cares for them, and how great God is. And I want to thank you all. Well, that's very, very humbling. She says the sad part is there's a minister, not an Adventist from a different church, but there's a minister that often follows me. And his message is, if you don't serve God, you're going to hell. And he preaches on eternal hell fire, what it would be like to burn forever, and how God is going to send you there if you don't change your life. And she says it just breaks my heart because of the two contrasts. Your message that you deliver, I believe, is taken from what you think your relationship with God is. If you see God as sitting there watching, looking, writing down mistakes, then that's going to be a picture that you're going to show to people around you. And so this minister thinks by preaching on hellfire, he's going to motivate people to say, well, I don't want that. The other one is if you have a relationship with God and you see the love that He has for you, you see the care He has for you, and you see that you are not an ordinary person. You see that God cares and loves you, then you're going to be able to share with that person how much God loves them. And I got thinking when Sue shared this with me. Sue does all the talking. I never call anybody. What a contrast. One's going to scare you into heaven. And the other one's going to try to show somebody who wants to love you into heaven. What a contrast. But see, it's your picture of God. What does God think of you? Now, it's easy to say, He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth is going to live. That's a nice text. We've learned that from one of the first texts we've ever learned. When we were little, we sang, yes, Jesus what? Loves me. Well, that's a fantastic song. But see, sometimes we get so common, we hear it so much, that we never really understand the depth of the message. Now, who has... Come in.
Excuse me, could I have 1 minute of your time?
Normally, no, but make it 1 minute.
Okay, thank you. You know, when they ask me to do this, and they say, just go to the classroom and advertise this, and I'm like, oh, I've never done this. All right. Good morning. Happy Sabbath. I hope you have a blessed day. My name is Ruth, and I'm a volunteer. I work in the children's department, or I help in the children's department. And next Saturday, the church is bringing a singer. Her name is Jancy, and she sings music for little ones, pre-K elementary age. Her music is very nice. My kids love her. We have some CDs and DVDs at home. And the beauty of it is that she's going to perform next Saturday at 6 p.m. and the concert is free. The church is covering for all the costs. And we just want families to come. So if you would like to come, or if you have maybe friends who have children or grandchildren, you are welcome to join us next Saturday. I'm going to leave a few flyers here.
Hand them to my wife. She'll hand them out at the end of the class. Yes.
I'll leave some flyers here, and please feel free to take some with you. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate the interruption. Now, let me tell you where this all coming from. I was head elder of this church for a while. And one of the things I made a very important point, if you have announcements or want to do something in Sabbath school class, let the teachers know ahead of time so that they could work on it. So now, because I'm a person of rote memory, y'all remember 2 weeks ago, I started out... And whoever... thinks I'm a control freak is wrong. All right, now where was I? Okay, Ezekiel. I think I was getting to Ezekiel. Who has Ezekiel? Yes, sir.
Ezekiel 34.
Nice and loud.
Ezekiel 34, 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord Yahweh, look, I, even I, will seek my flock, and I will look after them, just like the caring of a shepherd for his herd on the day when he is in the midst of his scattered flock. Thus I will look after my flock, and I will deliver them from all the places to which they were scattered on the day of storm and stress. And I will bring them out from the peoples, and I will gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their soil, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel.
All right, let's stop there. That's a good point. Where are you in your experience with Jesus? With your Heavenly Father. Maybe there's someone here that says, well, you know, I've kind of wandered off the path. I'm in rebellion. You walk through the door and you say, how are you doing this day? Oh, doing great. Everything's fine. Maybe inside you're wondering, does anybody care? I want you to go and read Ezekiel. The first sentence is interesting. Read the first sentence.
Ezekiel.
The same one you wrote. Yeah.
For thus says the Lord Yahweh, look. Look I, even I.
Now, you get that? God says, I, even I. He's making a point. Not Ron Combs is going to come and look for you. Not that I'm going to send James to look for you. He says, I, even I, God, I'm going to go out and search for you till I find you. You dumb sheep, you ran away. You thought the grass was greener on the other side of the hill. But I, even I, I'm going to find you. And when I find you, I'm going to bring you back to my fold where I'm going to feed you and give you the good grass. Are you ordinary? Absolutely not. You are the one person that God in His utmost grace wants to spend eternity with you. Not Leroy more than the gentleman. He's the most important person. And He says, I, even I, will go and find you. Who has Isaiah? Yes.
Isaiah 49, verse 15 and 16.
Nice and loud.
So the Lord answers, can a woman forget her own baby and not love the child she bore? Even if a mother should forget her child, I will never forget you. Jerusalem, I could never forget you. I have written your name on the palms of my hands.
One of the most beautiful texts in the Bible, and it's in the Old Testament. See, you remember, I've always said the character of God comes out of the Old Testament much more moving than the character does in the New Testament. That's Jesus in the New Testament. It's easy to see, man, when He hugged a leper, man, that's what God would. We could see that in the Old Testament. Look what God had to work with. He asked a very interesting question. Can a woman forget her suckling child? What's the answer? Well, just go to your newspaper. Children abused, children left for dead. Babies found in closets abandoned, found in garbage dumps. Can a woman forget her sucking child? Absolutely. But then God says, you think you're ordinary? Let me tell you, you're so precious to me that a woman can forget the birth of a baby, but I'll never forget you. And then I want you to think about this. Your name, Mike Schroeder, your name on the palms of God's hands. Is that what the text says?
I've written your name on the palms of my hands.
Your name. And you're ordinary? Your name. God's hands. And as He spread them out on Calvary, your name. Nails, your name. God's hand. Who has Jeremiah? Yes.
Jeremiah 13:17. If you won't listen, my heart will break with sorrow, and my soul will weep because of your arrogance and pride. My eyes will overflow with tears because the Lord's flock will be taken
captive. Wow. Do you see the contrast of the message that we send people? We got a minister in a prison says if you mess up, you're going to hell and you're going to burn forever. And God is going to sit and watch you burn forever. Robert Ingersoll was a tremendous atheist, agnostic. But yet he made one of the most profound statements I believe is absolutely true. He said in the 1890s, if God is one who will burn somebody in hell forever, I want no part of Him. And I believe that's a true statement. But yet, what does He say in Jeremiah as He watched His children, the children of Israel, gone astray? He says, my heart's broken. I'm sad. The tears well up in my eyes and they run down my cheek. God is never mad at what you do. God is never surprised at what you do. Never. God wants to you and Him to spend eternity together. That's His greatest desire. To ever tell people, well, God's mad. See what you've done? You go against God, look what happens. Sometimes God steps back and lets circumstances take care of themselves. That's only fair. You can't plant peach tree. Do you plant seeds for peach trees? I don't want to go any further until I get that analogy down correct. Do you plant seeds for peach trees?
Yes.
Yes, thank you. See, you can't plant seeds for peach trees and go out 3 months later and have corn. So you can't plant seeds in your life and expect to get different results sometimes. But let me tell you, God is working with you every step of the way to try to get you to see the mistakes that you've made. Not because His desire is to correct you. His desire is that you see how much He loves you and cares for you and wants you, that you see the decision you've made are not good. God is never mad at you. He gets heartbroken. He gets sad. He cries. Tears roll down his cheek. You see, you don't do that for ordinary people. You don't do that for, so what? You do that for the ones that are the closest to you. The ones you ache to put your arms around and hold. The ones you ache to hear the words, I love you. Those are the ones that break your heart. Those are the ones that keep you up crying at night. And God, in all of His great glory, in all of His great love, I don't understand it. I just take His promises. I take the Old Testament and see how He worked with Adam. See how He worked with David, one of the greatest sinners of all time that we mold most life. How He worked with Abraham. How He worked with all these people. How He worked with the disciples. All I know, they all were a bunch of idiots. But He kept pursuing. One of the greatest chapters in the Bible. Normally I have a good discussion, but today I'm not in a discussion mood. Well, I'll take the word good discussion out. Normally I have a discussion. Whether it's good or bad, you all decide that. But today I have a burden. So I've got to share it. One of the greatest chapters in the book in the entire 66, and one of the saddest chapters in the entire 66 is the same chapter, Hosea 11. You want to see what God thinks about children that are going down the wrong path? Read Hosea, especially the 11th chapter. He's talking to the children of Israel that in about a year and a half are going to be totally annihilated by the Assyrian army, and the 10 northern tribes will exist no more. And Hosea is sent with the last message to these erring children. And in the 11th chapter, he simply says, it was I who held you in my arms when you were a baby. It was I who took you by the hand and taught you to walk. It was I who, as you grew up, fed you and took care of you. It was I who love you with an everlasting love. And yet, you want nothing to do with me. Oh, how I hurt, he says. My hurt is immeasurable. But you have sought another way. And sadly, I must let you go. That's who God is. People that are going through divorce do not need you to come along and say, you know, this divorce thing is not good. Don't you think they've already figured that out? Those that are having all kinds of troubles don't need us to come along and point out, do you know what you're doing is wrong? They've already figured that out. What they do need to know is there's somebody who cares. And if you're about to be destroyed, Jesus, as he looked over Jerusalem, is going to cry. If you've run away as a dumb little sheep, I, even I, God says, are going to go find you. If you think you're forgotten and nobody cares, God says, look, I know what the headlines of the newspaper say. Babies are forgotten all the time. Children are abused, left to die, all of that. Not me. I'll never forget you. Your name. God's hand. Ordinary? Child of the King. Ordinary? I want you to get this statement. It's a powerful one. I was going to call a name, but I'm not going to do that. Just listen to it. If you were the only person in the entire world, Jesus would have come and gone to the cross for you. Do you get that? If you were the only person in the entire world, he would have gone to the cross and died for you. Doesn't sound like you're ordinary to me at all. Who has Daniel? Yes.
Daniel 9:23. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandments come forth, and I come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision.
Okay, this is to Daniel. God catches an angel, sends him down to Daniel. Says, greatly beloved there. The Hebrew word is yumadot, which means, go tell Daniel that he is my most precious treasure. And that's you. Most precious treasure. Look back in your life and see how many times God has sent someone, an angel, or revealed himself or whatever, to tell you that you are his most precious treasure. I'm going to take you back today to Calvary. On the cross on that Friday, there were four people that were influenced by what happened on that Friday. The first one was Simon. He was from Cyrenian. He was just there perchance. He came to Jerusalem to visit his sons. We think his sons were believers. We don't think he was. He just happened to be there. He's walking in Jerusalem to go see his sons, and he comes across what he thinks is a parade. And he stops and he sees three men. Two of them cursing, complaining, screaming. Oh, it's that third one that catches his eye. Not saying a word. He falls down. Soldiers begin to whip him, make him get his cross back up. Perhaps Simon, watching that third man, gasped. We don't know, but something he did caught the soldier's attention. And the soldier said, hey, you feel sorry for this man. You come and carry his cross. And so we see Simon, who thought he was at a parade at first with all the people, who was just there to visit his son. He's carrying the cross of the Creator of the universe. And it changes his life forever. There's a second person there at Calvary. He's on one side of Jesus. He's a thief. Began to steal, well, probably when he was small. He was so much into being a thief and a robber that they finally had enough of him, and him with another person, they're going to crucify him along with this man called Jesus. On one side we have a thief saying, "Hey you, you got any power? Do something." Finally the other one on the other side who had been watching this man finally said to the other thief, "Why don't you shut up? We deserve what we're getting. He doesn't deserve anything." You think you're ordinary? The thief thought he was less than ordinary. And finally he says, "Lord, when thou comest, remember me." That's all he said. And Jesus, doing what Jesus does, as he was dying on the cross, suffering, still is saving. And says, "I say unto you today, you will be with me in paradise." There were four people at that cross. Number three was the Roman centurion, hardened man, been a killer all of his life. To be a centurion was a reward. That means in the battlefields that you had gone out and been victorious. Back then they fought, they lined them up and they marched into each other and they just kept fighting to some, the other army ran away or was totally dead. So you had to be a man of all men to survive those kind of wars. And his reward was to come over to Jerusalem and take care of 100 men centurion. And his job as he woke up that morning was just another ordinary job to him because he was an ordinary person. And his wife, as she packed his lunch, said, "Well, what's going on today?" "Oh, same old thing. Got to go kill a bunch of people. I think I got two thieves and some guy that they claim some kind of king. I don't know. It's all the same to me." Ordinary day, ordinary man. Oh, that third man. See, when they took the two thieves and started binding them and nailing them to the cross, they're cursing, they're screaming, they're hollering. "Unfair. I didn't do anything." The third one doesn't open his mouth. Never seen anything like that. Great shudder, they put that cross up. That's where it hurts the most in a crucifixion. All of a sudden that whole weight is thrown. Others are crying. Doesn't say a word. Finally he does speak. "John, take care of my mother." Wow. And as that crusty old battle-worn soldier sat there, kind of amazed, he hears, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do." And as Jesus died, thunder, nature died with him. As you look at the cross with an open mind, the Roman soldier came to the only conclusion a person can come to. This is the Son of God. And it changed his life. History tells us that he became a very hard worker for Christianity. Changed his life. Now, how about that fourth person? I didn't say four, right? See, there's Simon, centurion, thief. No notes. Oh, I know who the fourth one is. That's you. That's you. You stand before the cross of Calvary. You think you're ordinary? You think God doesn't care? You look up to the cross. And the question is, what will you do? You look to the cross. What will you do? My Father, throughout my journey, You've always been there. I know you cried. I know you clapped at times. I know you care. Help all of us, no matter where we are today in our spiritual journey, understand how much you care, how much you love, your greatest desire. Thank God we are not ordinary people. We are precious to you. Help us to understand that, and then help us to go to our brothers and sisters and say, you want to know how important you are to God? Let me bring you to the cross of Calvary and look and see and listen. You're that important. Amen.